Lens. You're here with me, Anna, and this is your English podcast where you can learn English, have fun, and make English part of your life. Now remember, you can follow me on Instagram and on Twitter at Anna_2Ns_English. I recently added the English just to give a little bit more clarity for people that maybe don't know me. It's a little bit longer now, but you just need to add in the extra English to find me. I do live stream classes every Thursday, and I also post other content on my Instagram and Twitter too. So it's a great place to find me and interact with me. Now, on today's episode, I want to focus on something that has been something that I have started to do a lot more with my students in classes. I actually didn't used to do this as much. I still used to do it, but not with the focus that I give it now. And this is the basic thing of introducing yourself in English. One thing is that it amazes me, even if you go from beginner to advanced level, it doesn't matter. People tend to make the same mistakes. And I rarely find a student who can, without any corrections, without any help, give me an exactly perfect introduction with no corrections first time round. It is so, so rare. It's really just one of these absolutely key things that you should be able to do. And not only that, you should be confident doing it. So this is why I want to do this episode today, so that I can give you some examples and help you start to craft your own introduction in English. Now here, I'm not talking about anything very long. I'm talking about something nice, short, and snappy, mistake-free, that you can just roll off, okay? Roll off is like to repeat many times. That you can just roll off whenever you need to. If you're at work, if you meet somebody in a conference, if you, I don't know, meet a new friend. Now, I'm going to talk a little bit more from a professional perspective, but you can still take some of these elements and you can kind of dumb it down or make it a little bit more casual for a more personal experience, because if you meet somebody, I don't know, at a party or whatever, you're not going to be like, oh, I've been working for my company for 10 years. Like, it's too stuffy. So you need to adapt it a little bit. But I'm going to come at it from a professional angle because I think that's what is useful. And it's also the situation where you really do have to introduce yourself. And first impressions do count. It doesn't matter what anybody tells you. They do count, but that doesn't mean that they don't change. Okay, you can change your first impression, absolutely. I've changed my first impression many times. I remember one of my very good friends, we met each other and we didn't like each other at all the first time that we met each other. We didn't like each other at all. But, you know, it's based on something that you had in your first impression that you realized later, oh, that was totally irrelevant and we were just being silly and whatever. So first impressions do change, but that initial interaction is very important, especially if this is in the workplace, in a professional environment. It might be your only opportunity to do that, to make that first impression. It might be a client or a potential lead, and this is your opportunity to show them, I'm confident, I can introduce myself, this is who I am. So let's imagine that we have to do an introduction, and we're going to imagine that it's with people that you don't know or you don't know very well. And even more specific, if you can think about those workshops or those meetings where they say, okay, so everybody, please introduce yourself. And if you could tell us who you are, where you're from, what company you work for. Oh, and just tell us something interesting about yourself. Oh my God, isn't that just the question that everybody dreads? Tell us something interesting about yourself. I honestly used to hate that part because I could never think of anything interesting. And then it just made me feel really depressed because I was like, I'm the most boring person ever. So in my opinion, it's better to think of something in advance, which obviously becomes a little bit more complicated if you're going to a conference or an event where people already know you and maybe they've already heard your interesting thing before. So you need to prepare a couple of interesting things that you can just roll off. And I'll talk about that a little bit later on, because there's definitely some do's and don'ts when we're talking about interesting things. So, of course, an extra foreword about this. all introductions depend on the context. So here I'm coming at it from a professional approach, but still within that, there's many different situations and scenarios that you could find yourself in. So this is a very general one, but you could tailor these down to suit you. For example, if people know which company you're from, if it's an internal meeting, then you don't need to say that you work for that company. It's more important to give your specific role. So it really does depend on the situation. But we're going to go for a kind of a general professional workshop contest. A contest? No, context. Sometimes my brain is thinking faster than my mouth, so I can't keep up with my words. Remember, a workshop is... Sometimes people get confused and they think that workshop is where you go when you have a problem with your car. And we don't really call those workshops. In a professional context, we call a workshop somewhere where you go and you do brainstorming. You look at the big picture, okay? It's like something active where you're doing an activity, a workshop. Okay, so let's start from the very beginning. Let's talk about when somebody says, okay, Anna, can you stand up? Tell us a little bit about yourself and something interesting. And you're like, okay, let's go. So you could start off saying something like, hello, everybody. My name is Anna. Or, hello, everybody. I know it sounds super simple and basic, but it's a nice way to say hello to every person in the room. So hello, everybody. My name is Anna. I think that saying my name is Anna is a bit weird, and I actually probably wouldn't say that. I'd probably say something like this. I say, hi, everybody, I'm Anna. Hi, everybody, I'm Anna. So I would use the verb to be. I'd say, I'm Anna, rather than my name is Anna, but both of them are fine. The important thing is that you make sure you pronounce your M. Oh my God, the amount of times that I have to correct students for this. When you make the M consonant sound in English, your lips must touch. They must touch. Okay, they don't have to touch for a long time. Sometimes I tell my students, pronounce the M. And they're like, I'm from England. I'm like, no. You don't need to prolong the M sound. We just need to have an M sound, which means your lips have to touch. So, hi, I'm Anna. Hi, I'm John. Hi, everybody. Hello, everybody. So I would go with either hello or hi, but I probably wouldn't go with hey. Hey is a little bit informal for a professional context. Or you could say, for example, good morning, good afternoon, depending on the time of day that it was. Or good evening, if it was past 7 o'clock. Remember, in the UK, good morning lasts until 12 p.m., until lunchtime. Well, that's lunchtime for us. So anytime after 12 p.m. is afternoon. I know it's messed up. Some of you think it's weird, but that's true. If you say to me, if I'm in England and it's 2 p.m. in the afternoon, and you say, good morning, everyone. I'm going to be like, oof, what did they take in their coffee? So 12 p.m. up to 12 p.m. good morning. After 12 p.m. until about 6 p.m. good afternoon. And then after 6 p.m. we would probably say good evening. So hi, I'm Anna. Basic. Or hi, everybody, I'm Anna. Where are you from? So a lot of people like to say where they're from. It might not always be completely relevant or appropriate, but you know, you could say it if it's necessary, especially if these are people that don't know you at all, or maybe it's an international meeting, which would make this even more important. So let's imagine it's an international gathering of people. So hi, I'm Anna. I'm from England. Oh, I have a friend with me at the moment banging on the wall. This is life, okay? This is life, guys, trying to record things in a block of flats. Okay, so where were we? Where were we? This is when I'm trying to retrace my steps to find out what I was saying before. Where were we? And I'm including you in this because you're part of the conversation. I could have said, where was I? But I'm going to say, where were we? Because I'm talking about you and me having a conversation. So where were we? Talking about where we're from. Now, I could say I'm from England. It's a little bit general, okay? So if you want to be a little bit more specific, maybe you feel very strongly about where you're from, you could say I'm from Oxford, England. What I wouldn't recommend, because I'm not really from Oxford, I use Oxford as a reference point, because if I say my town, nobody's going to have any idea where I'm from. So, you know, for example, if I say I'm from Didcot, they're going to be like, okay, that makes absolutely no geographical sense to me. So use some reference points to help people. Or if you want to, you know, I'm from Didcot, which is a small town in the south of England. for example. Well, actually, it's not a very small town. It's kind of like a big town now. But anyway, whatever. So you can be a little bit more specific depending on the audience that is there. The key part about this sentence is nothing to do with the actual content. It's to do with the pronunciation. And again, it's about this M. I'm from England. A lot of students say it like this. They say, I'm from England. I'm like, where's your M sound? Your lips didn't touch. Touch your lips. Not with your finger, but your lips need to touch each other. I'm from England. I'm from England. I'm from Didcot, which is a town in the south of England, near Oxford. Okay, and if they say near Oxford, they're like, I know where Oxford is. It's near London. And I'm like, well, not really. And so the conversation continues. But anyway, they know that I'm from England and that's what's important. Next question or next sentence. What do you do? Now, I'm imagining that people are asking you these questions, but these are just kind of prompts to help us frame the introduction. Now, there's many different ways that you could answer this, depending on how specific you want to be. But when you're talking about what you do, this is your job. Like, what do you do? Now, it might be that you don't have a job. It might be that you run your own company, in which case you would need to adjust your answer to say that. So I'm going to give you some examples for all. Now, sometimes when I first meet students, I say, what do you do? And they say, I'm a consultant. I'm like, okay, what type of consultant? What industry do you work in? What field do you specialize in? To say you're something like a consultant is super general. And if it were me, I'd want to know a little bit more information. So for example, you could say, I'm a consultant and I work in the human resources industry. Perfect. Okay. I know that you're a consultant, I know you work with clients, and I know that you're a specialist in HR. Perfect. Because a consultant could be technology. I mean, it could be anything, right? It's not specific enough for me anyway. So that's a very specific way that you could say it. I'm a, okay? Remember, you must have the indefinite article, either a or an, followed by your title. For example, I'm a teacher, I'm a consultant, I'm an engineer. One of the most common mistakes that students make is they say, for example, I'm sales manager. Yes? No, I'm a sales manager. So you need to either have a or an depending on your profession. Most of the time it's a, to be honest. I'm a. Okay, you could also say I work as a. Okay, that also follows the same pattern. I work as a teacher, I work as a consultant, I work as a doctor, I work as a plumber, I work as a beautician, I work as an economist. So those are both really specific examples giving your actual job title or job role. Now, you could also say, for example, I work in HR. Okay, I work in a certain field or sector. I work in HR, I work in cybersecurity, I work in technology, I work in industrial engineering. So you could talk about the subject, as in the subject, the field, but it's not very specific, okay? You could say that, but you're not really telling us what you do. You're telling us the area that you work in, but, you know, you could be within that. You could be a CEO, you could be a head of something, you could be a controller, you could be a manager, you could be a supervisor. So it's less specific, it's more general. And that's okay, but you may want to be a bit more specific. For example, I'm a consultant and I work in the human resources field, rather than I work in HR. But both are okay. Again, it depends on the context. If the audience or the people are there would be interested in knowing what your specific role is, then obviously it's important to tell them what your role is. When I'm saying role, sometimes students get a bit confused. Role is your job title. Like, what is your job title? Are you a financial manager? Are you the head of sales? Are you a HR controller? That is your role, your job title, your position. Okay? So you could say it in a number of those ways. Now, what if you're not working in a company? Well, if you're not working in a company, you can say something along the lines of, I have my own company, which specializes in. I have my own company, which specializes in, or I have my own company, or I have my own chain, whatever you want. Okay, so you need to introduce your company, your brand, whatever. Maybe you do more than one job, in which case you would need to express that. So maybe you could say, I work part-time as a financial manager, but also on the side, I also do some freelance work. Now, on the side is maybe a little bit informal to say. On the side is like a little bit extra. So instead of saying that, you could say, I work as a financial manager, but as well as this, I also do some freelance consulting in graphic design. I don't know, I'm thinking of these off the top of my head, these job titles, seeing what comes up. So the most common mistake with this area is to miss out the at or the an. So people will say, I'm sales manager. No, I'm a sales manager. So that's the most common mistake that you need to avoid with that answer. And remember, you can give different answers depending on whether you want to be specific or non-specific. Now, one other common mistake, especially around this idea of consultancy and being a consultant, students get confused between the two. So they say, I'm a consultancy. Well, a consultancy is the type of company. So if you are an entire consultancy, that's very impressive. No, you're a consultant. A consultant is the person. A consultancy is the organization. So I'm an HR consultant in an HR consultancy. And that's a wrap, folks. So this is part one of my episode about how to introduce yourself in English. I'm going to do part two, which is going to be released later on this week. You told me that you wanted more episodes, shorter episodes, twice a week. So that's what I'm going to do for you this week. I hope that you like it. In the next episode, I'm going to be continuing the conversation about ways that you can introduce yourself. I'm also going to give you some tips about some do's and don'ts, and I'm going to explain to you about a little something in English called TMI. All shall be revealed. Make sure you check it out. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram and Twitter at @Anna_2Ns_English. I would really love it if you would subscribe to the podcast and support me any way that you can. Leave me a review or a comment. Apple, iVoox, Spotify, whichever platform that you like. I love to read your comments and will always respond. And I will be back for part two very, very soon. Bye-bye.